This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with two birds on a bat with Jim, Steve, and Fish.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Andre Ladders! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line! It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Cardinals there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast, done by fans, for fans, just with an everyday fan's perspective of our beloved Redbirds. Let me welcome in my co-host, Fish and Steve-O. What's going on, guys?
What's happening, man? What's happening?
My mood is the same as the Cardinals game the day before, so today it's not very good.
Well, it was an interesting mood, I guess, if that's the term you want to use. I don't know about you, but, you know, it would have been nice to take two out of three there. Boy, I'd really, really like our chances. But at the end of the day, we're right there. And I put it out on Twitter last night, and a lot of our listeners that follow us on Twitter, I think, showed that they agree. If we can't go 5-2, or heck, even 6-1 down this stretch, facing a team that's sub-500, barely sub-500, and the other one is 25 games under 500, we don't deserve to be in. It's that simple. So,
at home, too, which we know has been an Achilles heel
for
us. Yeah,
but, you know, but Fish said it a long time ago, and it may be the simplest yet most intelligent thing said. Sooner or later, you got to win at home or it's over. I mean, again, simple but true.
Yeah, I don't care what their home record is. You got to still be happy that you're playing at home.
If you're not,
Jimmy, I don't know that they can go 6-1. I mean, that's a lot. I don't care how subpar these teams are.
Well,
and, you know, we talked about this, and maybe I'm putting too much emphasis on this, so stop me right when I'm saying it, guys, but I keep hating to bring it up, but the feel. Did you watch that game last night?
Yeah.
I did, and it just – I never even got excited.
Well, the feel, and we talked about this on text while it was happening. Really? You mean the David Ross love affair fest out there in Chicago? Was that the feel you're talking about?
Well, that was an embarrassment.
Well, I was not happy about that.
Don't get me started.
I'm talking about the way the Cardinals play, because they still got to handle their end, no matter what they do with David Lee Roth.
No. David Lee Roth was the lead singer of Van Halen.
Whatever.
And I would have been all...
I didn't like him either.
Hang on. I would have been fine with giving him a standing ovation, because he deserves one. But a backup catcher, I don't care. There's a lot of good guys out there. He didn't need all that. And I'm going to tell you the thing that I thought was worse. If you're going to do that, that's fine, because let me tell you something. This Madden knows exactly what he's doing, and these guys are crybabies and whiners, and they're led by a crybaby and a whiner, and that's fine. But the reality of it is, if you're going to do that, send him out there, and before the first pitch of the inning's thrown, go do it, and then let's play baseball. You don't do that with two outs in a game where the team's fighting for their playoff lives down by two unless you're wanting to rub it in their face. And that's exactly what he did. And I would have marched right out of the dugout, and I would have pulled the pitcher over in the dugout if I was Matheny and said, the first one of them son of a bitches that come up, get it in the ribs. And if you don't do it, I'm taking your ass out.
You know, Jimmy, you're a big advocate at throwing at guys.
You damn right
I am. There ain't no doubt about that. You want to throw at everybody. Would you knock your own mother down?
Yeah.
With
and you know why?
Fastball?
Because here's the deal. Here's what I'll tell you, Fish. Here's what I know. If I'm playing against you and Steve, and Steve screws me, does something stupid, and you get in that batter's box, and you're not a dumbass, and I drill you, I know you're mad at me, but who else you pissed at?
Well, I'm going to say something to Steve probably.
That's right, and that's why it gets done, and that's why we got to let these guys handle it. Every time something goes wrong, we make a new rule. I'm so tired of it. Let these guys handle the game themselves, and it'll be fine. But no, we can't do that. We can't have guys handling it themselves because somebody might get hurt.
Well, there's a lot of money at stake.
I understand.
You're paying
that.
These guys that kind of money, and somebody gets hurt, somebody got to pay the cost there.
Hey, the bottom line on this David Lee Ross.
I love it, David Lee Ross.
That's so, a classic.
Cue up the Van Halen music. God, that'd fire me up now. Let's do it.
The bottom line, the guy played like 150 games over the last 2 years for the Cubs, and they're treating him like he's Lou frickin' Gehrig.
Yeah.
Okay? I agree with you. Take him out before it starts. You know, that's a whole Madden showing him up. I appreciate what Madden was doing, giving a guy his due.
Sure.
But I like the fact that he hit a home run. I get the standing ovation.
Good for great. Fantastic. Great for him.
What in the hell has the guy done? Okay, he's a great clubhouse guy. He's Grandpa Rossi or whatever he is. That's all fine and dandy. But you're giving him standing ovations.
I'm okay with that, too.
Did he hit? Any big home runs to win a series to take you to the World Series? Did he Spezio it out there?
Wait a minute. Hang on. We do that shit here where we give a standing ovation all the time to people, but it's a 30-second standing ovation, sit down, play the game.
But for somebody that's done something
we do it for guys when they come back that were just good.
This thing's jilted, no doubt, because we have done it, and I've enjoyed every minute of it. But because it's the Cubs, it's the team we're fighting for here, or not fighting with no more, but fighting against to get in the playoff system ourselves, it don't look good. It don't feel good to me. I understand if she was on the other foot, I'd be loving it. I'd say, this is great stuff.
See, I wouldn't be.
I would.
Ryan Ludwig, we knew when Ryan Ludwig's last game in St. Louis probably was, okay? We didn't give him some walk-off-the-field hug speech. I guarantee you Ryan Ludwig would do more for the Cardinals than Ross did for the Cubs.
Well, this will tell
but you. When Ludwig came him. Back, but when Ludwig came back, we gave him a 30-second standing ovation. He had to step out of the box and acknowledge the crowd his first game back at Busch. Big deal.
And that's fine.
That's right. That is fine.
That's fine.
Not stop the game when it's 2-0 and the other team's fighting for their lives. That was stick it in your face, finger up in the air, F you, and you know what? We'll handle this.
Without a doubt. But the guy's played 850 games in his 15-year career. I mean, that's barely five seasons. Yeah, my math, take off your socks again, Fish. Let's count them up. But hey, the guy's really not much of anything.
I got no problem with them acknowledging a guy whose contributions are obviously bigger in the clubhouse than they are on the field. I got no problem with that. It was how it was done. It was Bush League bullshit. Somebody should have got one in the ribs.
Well, and obviously, I would have a different take or think on this if the Cardinals would have performed better. Some of it is I'm frustrated. I just didn't feel good about last night's game again.
Well, last night's game is what we got to look forward to if we managed to get into this playoff game, if we managed to win this playoff game. Guess what? You're going to get a steady dose of Arrieta. You're going to get a steady dose of Hendricks, and you're going to get a steady dose of Lester.
Yeah, but we still won 9 of 19 games against them.
Well,
so let's see what the feel is. I mean, it could be different. I just didn't feel it last night.
You know what? I didn't find last night's game too terribly out of character other than we, you know, kept swinging at balls around the ankles and in the dirt. Seeing the ball out of Lester's hand must be impossible
But here's the thing. This is where I'm going with this. It's not just impossible for the Cardinals. It's been impossible for everybody that's faced the guy the last 3 months.
He's a Cy Young contender, obviously.
He's going to win it.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I think he's right there with Hendricks, right?
There's no way Hendricks wins this over him. If he does, these riders are stupid.
Hey, we talked about this last week. I think I brought it up. But this Lester is really throwing great down the stretch.
Right.
And what Jimmy has always said, the games in April and all that stuff, man, whatever, that's true. So the guy that was 12-1 in April and in May means as much. But no, it don't, especially for Cy Young. This guy pitching so tough down the stretch makes a difference. And he has been that. He's been tough.
Without a doubt. So, I mean, 2-0. Against Lester, I mean, I wasn't that disappointed. We had a big game the night before, but at the end of the day, I think I touched on this last time. You saw what the Cubs were going to do. They threw everybody out at us. There was no sitting people.
Oh yeah, no,
they don't want to face us in a 5-game series.
Yeah, but we didn't have a hit to the 15, did we? And I watched the game, but my memory's that bad. But we didn't have a hit to the 15, I don't think. So the whole field was like, there was never a time, and I kept texting Steve-O back and forth, there was never a time that I was excited. Maybe once at one point we had a couple guys on. I thought, hey, guy hits homer.
Well, it had the feel of a game that's 2-0 that feels like 10-0 because it feels like you can't do anything. And I'm going to tell you something. And you know what? we can get into philosophies and all this kind of stuff. But when you get the runner to second, and then then you get a walk and then get the runner on first base, and Carpenter comes up with nobody out, he's got a bunt. I'm sorry, he's got a bunt.
Well, we discussed that before the
got
show.
A bunt.
I tell you, you can say that, Jimmy.
He's got a bunt.
You can keep saying that and interrupting me, but there's a different feel for a guy. It's what Madden won't do either. You don't put all this confidence in a guy all year long, and then ask him to bunt in that situation. Like you have. Not enough confidence. I guarantee, like you said, what is he, 2 for 40? I get all that. But that's something you do. You're a big clubhouse guy. You're always talking about that's something that keeps that clubhouse strong. You allow a guy to have you say, I got confidence in you. If you're Matheny, what you're doing there is saying, I got confidence in Carpenter because we still got 7 games to play and still a shot at this thing, a real shot at this thing. Do I shake everybody's confidence by doing stuff like bunting Carpenter now? How many times has Carpenter bunted, not for bunting for a hit, but bunting for the sacrifice? I get baseball-wise, yeah, maybe that little book out there that says you're supposed to bunt here, guys. You're supposed to bunt, and you've told me 12 times already this morning. I don't know if I agree with that. I would be okay if he had bunted him. I wouldn't say it's wrong, but there's another side to that. Does it shake his confidence? I mean, look what they did when they moved this man from leadoff to hitting third. Excuse me. He can't hit third. So it obviously does something to his confidence. You wouldn't think it mattered, well, but Stevie haven't played. It does matter.
It does.
I'm going to tell you right. Last night got me. I was kind of in and out of watching the game, but when I did watch the things that happened that really frustrated me. The other thing is too. You just brought it up. All right. I get it. He's our leadoff hitter. I guess he's our best option. I'd say we'd agree with that. But another thing that's irritating is, you know. Martinez goes to third on the hit by Carpenter. We're down 2 damn runs, okay? They got a reliever in that's slow to the plate, and we can't steal second base. The hit by Peralta scores 2 if our leadoff hitter can steal second base, which I guarantee you just about every top-of-the-order guy in the league would be stealing second base there, and our guy can't do it. So, again, people are like, well, he's our best hitter. He has to lead off. I understand that. I'm going to say this, and I've said it 100 times. We are the St. Louis Cardinals. Can somebody please get me a leadoff hitter so this guy can bat second or third where he belongs? And guess what? He's going to have to figure it out because he is a number 2 or 3
hitter.
He's
a number
2
hitter.
Absolutely. A beautiful number 2 hitter. No doubt about what you just said. But here's the other issue. We're not normally in that situation where you need that guy to steal bases. But what the Cardinals need to do is hit. When you get one hit, when you're getting shut out.
For sure.
No, they didn't get shut out. They did score a run. But you shouldn't have to have Carpenter have to steal a base there over the long haul. Yes, it would have been nice there, but the Cardinals got to hit. The Cardinals got to move runners along.
But the proverbial but in this whole thing is you ain't got time for semantics now. You're fighting for your life. And that is what I'm talking about this morning when I looked at you and said, your buddy Whitey Herzog sure as shit would have bunted. You get him in here right now, and the first thing he'll say is Carpenter's got a bunt in that situation.
And what I said, I wouldn't disagree with that, Jimmy, for the baseball book rule. But what I said was Whitey Herzog had a completely different team. He had a clubhouse full of guys that could bunt, manufacture runs, move runners along. They'd not only done it all year long in any given year, they'd done it the whole
He'd have bunted Jack Clark in that situation.
Yes, he would have. They'd done it. No, he wouldn't have. But so they had done this with Whitey for five or six years. They'd done this with Whitey. Different club. This team isn't designed to do that. This team hasn't bunted all year. This team doesn't do that. So now you're asking a guy to do something that he don't normally do. So what happens here, Jimmy? What happens if he bunts and pops up? Hypothetically, are you now just as pissed like I would be saying, why are they bunting him? Well, the man can hit. Let him hit.
Well, to quote Matheny, which I think is one of his greatest quotes ever, okay, I made a move, and just because the move didn't work doesn't mean it was the wrong move, okay? So, therefore, the right move there was the bunt. And I'm going to tell you that I've watched a lot of Cardinal games this year. I have seen Carpenter bunt a runner over this year. I've seen it.
Okay.
I've seen him come up.
Too, but he's
I've seen him come up.
Bunting guys over.
But he's done it.
Okay.
So it was. So here's my point, though. He did it. I watched him do it. So let's say it was 2 months ago he did it. I don't give a shit. It could have been 5 months ago. It might have been a week ago. Doesn't matter. So it was perfectly okay against whoever for him to bunt a runner over a month ago, 2 months ago. But yet we're facing a guy that is completely dominating us, and we have an opportunity to get runners on second and third with one out, and not with some scrub bat behind him. We didn't double switch anybody out, and we got freaking Martinez or Bryant Pena coming up. We got our top RBI guy coming up next. So you don't think that was the right play to bunt him over?
I don't know.
Let me say this.
I lost 3 pounds last month, but I'll tell you what, I'm not typically very good at it.
Well,
So what do you do? So Matheny, or not Matheny, Carpenter bunts or don't bunt or whatever, typically he's not very good at it. I've not seen it.
I've seen it. But he bunts fine.
I've seen him bunt. Well, there you go. No, he pops up. What do you think?
He bunts.
And here's the other thing.
It doesn't mean it was wrong. It just means it didn't work.
Here's the other thing about Matheny trying to take this cop-out thing, saying, well, I've made a lot of decisions, you know, just because it didn't work, didn't mean one wrong, whatever. Here's why we're here this morning. We're here to question everything he did. That's why we're fans.
Yeah,
we're fans.
Absolutely. You're 100% right.
We get to question why he did or didn't do this or that.
I'm going to switch gears just a little bit because
sure.
You can beat that one. Because obviously, whatever happens there, you have one of your better hitters in that situation, and all he has to do is execute. Okay?
Well, sure.
But
absolutely.
Let me go to, I don't even know, what's Martinez's first name, the call-up, September call-up?
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
It was Jose, wasn't it?
Jose.
I think it's Jose. That.
Does it matter?
But that's my burn. That's my rub, is you get into the ninth inning, and you got an opportunity, and you have Martinez going to hit against Chapman.
And
not Diaz. Bring Diaz in.
Throwing 104.
Fighting for your life, and you're doing a September call-up.
I will tell you this.
And he had a couple good swings.
He had a couple great swings, and strike three was not a strike, but whatever. That's a whole nother discussion.
That was a filthy slider after
it was,
104
mile-an-hour
fastballs.
Were you not sitting there watching that going, if he throws him
anything
that's less than 98 miles an hour, this guy's going to either get caught looking at it or he's going to hurt himself?
Yeah.
It was either one.
But the bottom line on that is, any other situation, you know, I get it. You got a May game, you got a July game, whatever. Give the kid a shot. But if you're fighting for your life in a one-run or a two-run ball game, and you have this guy coming up, and storybook finish, and we can get into this whole other thing, boy, what if you bring Diaz off the bench there? He just lost one of his better friends, childhood friends growing up, Jose Fernandez, passing away. You talk about Vince Scully storybook ending. How about a Diaz storybook ending?
I find myself defending Matheny all the time. I also find it very hard to do so at times because I want to believe he's smarter than me. I want to, right? It's not hard to be smarter than me. My point is, how in the world can some of these things that are going on seem so obviously wrought with failure?
Well, I think because there's probably a lot of other factors. I mean, you could – something I don't really know because I'm not that good off the top of my head. Diaz may be like 0 for 12 against Chapman.
No, it was a fact. He was emotionally drained after his friend
Whatever.
Died.
All right. So, and that's a good point. But what I'm saying further than that, because that don't happen typically.
Sure.
And
sure.
We're still questioning Matheny, and it's not because someone else has passed away.
That's right.
Friends with someone.
That's right.
My point is that there are always factors that we aren't privy to. There are always things in a clubhouse like we don't know that Diaz twisted his ankle coming into the ballpark today and he's got a bad wheel. We don't know those things that Matheny may be trying to protect. And now we're saying, why would you? Because I'm with Steve-O. Why would you be batting Martinez or Martinez here?
You couldn't be more right. I like to assume that stuff's going on and that we're really not smarter than him, right? Because if we're questioning everything he does and we're right and he's wrong, that makes him either a dummy or a poor manager. Okay, so I like to believe, just like you just said, that there's a lot of things going on that we are unaware of. But I will say this. What kind of message does that send to a couple guys that have gotten you here when you're in a dogfight and you start a guy? I tweeted out this weekend.
What kind of message
on Friday
does it
night
send Button Carpenter?
That we got that this guy out here is probably going to win the Cy Young and we're going to try to scratch and claw and get a run across here. That's what it says. We're playing baseball. I'm not out here patting people on the ass, making them feel good about themselves. Here's the deal. The bottom line is I tweeted it out the other night. Okay? We're fighting for our playoff lives and Dean Kirkhofer's pitching. And Martinez is in the lineup. And we got guys playing out of position in the biggest games of the year. We're just not very good. I'm sorry. But yet, because of the wild card and because there's two of them, and because there's some other teams that haven't done very well either lately, we're right there with an opportunity to just get in no differently than the 06 and the 2011 team did.
And that turned out pretty good.
It turned out fine. But again, I don't think we're very good. I just don't. I think
I think that's the deep feeling I get about saying with the intensity, all the stuff, this feeling I have. Like, I wish I could get over my feelings, right? Because no one in the rest of the world gives a shit about my feelings. But I can't come away from thinking.
I care.
Thank you. I can't come away from keep thinking, man, this just don't feel good. It don't feel like any time the Cardinals have ever been historically, since I've been watching baseball, in this kind of situation, I always had this upbeat feeling like, hey, you ain't going to stop us. We're the mighty Cardinals. And I still am that kind of fan, but I just don't got that same feeling.
Well, your two best hitters are not getting it done right now, Piscotty and Carpenter. That's part of it.
Yeah, when you're hitting below the Mendoza line.
Yeah, for the last
month.
Yes. Neither one of them. So, again, that wouldn't make me feel all warm and fuzzy.
You're not getting it out of anybody, and that's the problem. It's, you know, it's a hot and cold type
thing. Yachty.
Well, yeah. Except for, and we talked about that. I mean, for this guy, and we'll talk more about it, I'm sure, as the weeks go by, hopefully as this run continues. But, you know, you go from winning 100 games last year to, what are you going to do, 86 this year?
You hope.
I don't have the record in front of me.
Well,
but
my contention is that it's going to take, and if I'm not mistaken, I think they're at 81 wins. I'm pulling it up here. I just want to verify before I say something that's wrong.
I think it is.
Okay.
So obviously you're looking at it and you're like, well, this is a different year. You know, you're dropping 14, 15 games off of what you did last year. And remember last year it was a dogfight too. You had 99 wins by the Cubs. Right. What Pirates have, 98, something like that. I mean, we were right there in the thick of it. So this, to me, feels like the same type dogfight because you're in a three-way fight there, except for it's with, you know, different divisions and it's for the wild card. To get in, not, hey, we got these three positions. We just need to know who's going to go where.
I think my expectations were higher, too. I thought this club would perform more consistently. But look what's happened to the pitch, and I think that's the biggest part of it. And we've talked about the people playing everywhere and not playing really good defense, not being able to hit in great spots. But really all boils down to the pitching. You know, just think, I was thinking the other day, and it's a good Cardinal show, I can say this, where would we be if we had Lance Lynn? Because I've always been a big fan of him. You can shake your head a little bit, guys, but here's the thing. Go back and look at his record. For the first 5 years of his career, I mean, he's, other than some great ones like Bob Gibson or something, his record's essentially as good as anybody's. Now, you can say, well, they scored runs for him and all that crap, whatever goes into that.
Yeah, but does it really matter? He wins.
The fact is he wins.
No, but
you don't think they're five games better with Lance Lynn pitching the whole year?
Not only
the numbers would say yes.
But I also think that they do score runs for him.
They do.
And does that play in a difference somewhere down the road where, you know, a guy's hitting a little bit better, a little bit more confidence, if you will, gets a big hit, he changes a 1-0 game to a 2-1 win for us?
I've always been intrigued by that. Certain guys get more run support, certain guys don't. You wonder, I mean, it happens so often that it can't be luck, right? There's got to be something to it. I don't know what it is. But you look at it, you know, Waka had, didn't he have 17 wins last year? I mean, obviously we didn't get anything out of him. Lance Lynn, total
loss.
Yeah,
I didn't mean to stop at Lance Lynn.
Yeah,
but you're exactly right. There's a whole host of guys.
You know, a whole host of guys that have, and we've had to call up these rookies who I think have performed. I mean, Reyes, we can talk all day long about his contributions. They've been nothing short of just unbelievable and far-exceeding. I actually think Weaver's done better than what some people want to give him credit for. Yeah, he got blown up in Colorado. I can give you a laundry list of guys that went on to be pretty good. They got lit up in Colorado, okay? So I'm not as worried about that as some might be.
Yeah, but you're talking long-term now. We're talking, we got a seven-game window here.
Wait a minute. You just told me earlier you wanted to make a decision based on a whole season. I wanted to make a decision because we're fighting for our lives, and now you're giving me a seven-game window.
No, I'm not trying to give you a seven-game window. I'm just saying that
I was trying to get you riled up
today. As far as Weaver goes, I don't think there's any doubt that long-term he's going to be fine.
Yes.
But is he going to make this work in the next seven games for us? Probably not. Where these other guys, I felt like at the beginning of the year, because you know I'm a little bit like not happy with Leak, but you know what he's done. Excuse me, he's done exactly what you wanted out of him. About 500. It's the other guys. That's what you kind of were expecting to be 10-9, 11-8, somewhere in there. Maybe, you know, but and he's done that. But then we didn't get Lynn doing anything.
See, I don't agree.
We didn't
with
get Waka. You surely didn't think that Leak was going to come in here and go 17-6.
Well, here's what I do think. Is that just like everybody else, what we expect is when we sign this 500 pitcher, he comes here and he's a few games better than 500. What he has been, if you take out, he's had, you've brought it up, he's had a couple of great outings.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like off the chart outing, take those out of the equation and he's really bad. Really bad. Like what I don't like is this. The game the other day, to your point, this is what I don't like. We are in a dogfight for a playoff spot. He doesn't even give us a chance. We are down 4-0 before you can blink. I don't care what your role is. You can't do that and be a guy that got $75 million.
It was ugly. You know, it wasn't like
wild pitches.
Like, it wasn't like a guy hit a ball and then another guy homered and stuff gets away from you real quick and you're talking about a matter of two or three pitches. It was ugly.
You know, I don't know. I wasn't a fan when we signed him, and it doesn't make me right. It just makes me I wasn't a fan. I've never been a fan. Like the Cardinals for years, remember they every time you turn around, we were going to get Bud Norris in a trade. Why? Because when he pitches against us, he pitches great. Well, that's all Mike Leake ever did was pitch well against us, so we got to go get him. We can't hit.
It would have been nice to have Bud Norris because that gives us about 12 more wins right there over the course of 3 or 4 years. But my God, did he kill us?
But he can't pitch against yourself.
Oh, I get that.
So, you know, but like I said, I'm going to go with number one, okay? I put this out there last night. What in the end is going to be Mo's worst move in this whole season? Was it signing Broxton to another example of a guy you went out and gave a 2-year deal to that you didn't have to? Like when Jim Edmonds is my favorite player. Remember when I went out and signed him 2 years at the end of his career? Why? You didn't have to.
Give away some money.
Just give away some money.
That's the difference in St. Louis, though, because he signed him to the money. We're stuck with him. In New York, Boston, Chicago, they just get rid of him eat the money. We're not going to eat that money.
But we can. So, that is the problem. Right, don't give them a pass because they can.
I'm not talking about what we can do. I'm talking about what we do.
That's right.
And what we do
and that's where I get frustrated.
Is we end up eating that money and Broxton will be with us, you know, regardless of how bad he's pitched, because he's gotten a contract money left. In New York, Chicago, other places, they eat that and roll on.
Yeah, that's a bad investment. That's a bad investment in a big market.
So it makes Mo's job much, much tougher.
Well, the bottom line is this. You get into a situation where Matheny obviously doesn't trust certain guys in the bullpen. It's apparent. He trusts a couple of guys right now. Segrist and Bowman and O. That's it. He don't trust anybody else.
Would you blame him?
Well, no, I don't.
I mean.
Okay, I don't. I mean, does our lineup scare you if you're playing against us? No.
See, I must have fallen asleep in Rosenthal's horribleness. Is he so bad that he couldn't pitch in the 6th, 7th inning and help this team? Was it that he just couldn't throw strikes no more?
Straight as an arrow.
I don't even know if it's straight. It's his walks are the problem.
That's a problem too. But it's funny. This is a odd story. But like when he was coming up, and remember when Mitchell Boggs was our closer? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yep.
I happened to be. I won something, so I was able to take my kids. You remember this, Steve-O? I took my kids to spring training for a few days. Mm-hmm. It coincided with a big snowstorm here, so I got the hell out of here, drove my kids down there. There was a kid that was in the Minnesota Twins organization that was a coach for Tyler. He was a double-A, triple-A catcher. Just so happened the Cardinals were playing these guys. So, you know, he invited us down. We went down, watched the whole thing. The Cardinals were winning. Mitchell Boggs, they brought in a save situation in a spring training game. It's getting late, right? I mean, they just light him up. And I mean, it was a feel you got standing there watching these guys. They couldn't wait to get out of the dugout, get on deck circle. So when the game was over, I asked him about it. And I said, man, you guys took some really good swings off a guy throwing 98. He goes, let me tell you, right now, every guy on our team would like to face him. That thing is straight on a string, and hitting 98 is not the problem. He's got nothing else.
Right. Because if you remember, he was supposed to be the next great guy.
Yeah.
You know, because he did have this good, hard fastball. I think the same thing happened to the closer after that I liked, Mott. I liked him. You could see on TV everything. Yeah, he threw hard, but everything was boom right there. So, you know, he becomes hittable, and there's no doubt about that.
I think sometimes if you throw that hard, you know, I would say that some of his saves have been a product of his wildness. He's gotten a lot of strikeouts. Some balls that weren't strikes because guys swung at him, just they get in a hole or whatever. I mean, it happens, and that's part of baseball. But, hey, that's the benefit of throwing 98, 100. Okay, you're going to get those. Chapman gets them all the time, okay, as evidenced last night. We got guys swinging at balls that aren't strikes, and you feel like I got to start my swing so soon I don't have a choice. I'm going to commit, and we've seen it. But the reality of it is, to your point, is Rosenthal that bad – that he's not a better option there than Broxton.
Because they need help.
That's right.
As you said, Matheny obviously has no confidence, and I would agree with that statement. You can see it. He's not using guys. You know, he's got a few select guys that he's using in any kind of situation that's going to help us. So we need help. You're going to tell me a guy like Rosenthal, as well as he's pitched in the past, he can get guys out. I don't know. Where's he at?
Well, the manager's the one that makes the decisions of here's who I'm going to go with here for this reason and for whatever reason in a game that, you know, that we were only down one run. That's who he brought in to keep it at
so
a one-run
game. It had to be just because it was a high leverage situation that he didn't trust him. Because I can't believe any other reason why he wouldn't bring in Rosenthal. I mean, it.
Because I don't believe he has a lot of confidence in Broxton.
Well,
I
to Fish's point, maybe we don't. Maybe Rosenthal couldn't go. Maybe he's like, yeah, I need a day. I'm tired. I don't know. That again, we're back to that. We're assuming that the guy is so much smarter than us, and there's things going on behind the scenes that he's protecting his players and not telling us. And if that is what he's doing, and I assume that's what he's doing, that's why these guys are 10 times smarter than we give
them
credit
for. Well,
they
all do it. Well, I don't know about smarter. They got more info than we got. Because there's the thing, and Mitch Williams had said it, you could take a 10-year-old kid and he could manage a baseball game on the day of the game. The difficultness of that, and I've talked in the past about it, I didn't like LaRusso's game day managing, but he was terrific at getting the guys he wanted and getting them prepared. Now, is Matheny doing that or not? Some of this game day managing, Jimmy, is just not that. Like you say, you got to make a decision at some point in every game. And some of them work, some of them don't. So are you a better manager when more of them work, a worse manager? How's all that defined? You said Carpenter should have bunted. Why do you say that? You know why you say that? Because you've watched the game forever, you played the game, and you feel like this is a situation you should bunt. Now, Matheny didn't do that, so does that make him smarter than you? And it didn't work for Matheny.
Right. Well, so, here's the difference, though. Carpenter could have hit a home run there, and I would still argue with you today that the right play would have been to bunt. Great that he had a home run, because I'm looking at it from a baseball perspective. It's like I told you this morning. In a game against a guy that has shut you down, I mean, I don't think you got a hit the last game. You got one hit off the guy like in the eighth inning. Okay, and now you're getting shut down again. You have two runners on and nobody out, and it's been hard as hell. And what happened is what wound up happening now. Anytime you make a tough decision like that, you start making assumptions that the next guy is going to come up and do his job. But that's what baseball should be, right? You do your job, the next guy does his, we all roll along. My point on that was very simple, and that's this, and you know this, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know, and hopefully the baseball, the people that understand the actual game of baseball understand this and aren't just fans. There is a variety of ways to score from third base without ever getting a hit, and we weren't getting very many hits off this guy. That's why I said he should have bunted. Very simple. Now, again, anytime you start assuming anything, like for instance, last night, we all are questioning why Martinez was in left field last night, right? Every one of us. It's because we're assuming that if he would have put Pham or Colton Wong or Moss in left field, our assumption is that they would have got a couple of hits or hit a home run and did something to help us win. We're assuming that.
Well, I like Wong out there, but see, these are the little ones. Lester, left-hander, Wong, left-hander. Probably a lot to do with that. I like the move when they put Wong out in left field. I really liked it because I was agreeing with you a couple weeks ago. He had earned a spot, as you had said yourself, to play somewhere in this lineup.
Yeah, but it needs to be second base.
Well, yeah, but can you play that guy? Can you play Carpenter in left field?
I guarantee
you. I think they're
you.
Looking at athleticism and who could handle that spot better. Like, well, again, a lot goes into that we don't know. Carpenter may say, hey, look, I'm real when right-handers hit balls, they tend to tail back to me. I have a tough time fielding those out. So who knows? We don't know all that.
And then we're back to this. We're back to fighting for our lives, and we got guys playing. I can assure you right now there are some really good baseball people that are watching us trot Jed Jerko out to play short with their head in their hands going, this guy is playing shortstop for them in a wild card race.
That's amazing.
Guaranteed. I guarantee you that's happening. Looking at it going, if you're going to play Peralta and you're going to play Jerko, why isn't Peralta playing short? I will say this about Peralta. Him and Jerko have the same range, but I guarantee you Peralta makes every play to him. Every play. He has done that his whole time in a Cardinal
uniform. He's coming off an injury. So, again, where does he stand with that? Where does he stand with the injury? Can he play short? Does he feel confident playing short? Stuff we don't know, because I'm telling you right now, Peralta's better defensively than Jerko. And I don't know
that. That's my point. So he can play third, not short. It's just his hand. It ain't his legs.
I agree with that point, but my point is, Who knows? Well, who knows what he's saying, Jimmy?
What?
Maybe there's something to be said. You know, it's a little longer throw sometimes from short when you're feeling one in the hole or up the middle. You got to twist and turn to make a lot of throws, but you don't have to at third base. You catch it and you throw it, and that's it. Who knows?
I'm just shocked.
I don't think there's anybody that thinks that Jerkle's a better defensive shortstop than Peralta. Not that he was Ozzie Smith.
I'm just absolutely amazed every time I turn on the TV and he's in at short. I mean, he looks like me out there, butterball almost in a uniform. He hits 27 bombs. But
you should say he looks like me because it's a perfect fit for me. He looks exactly like me.
Hey, and listen, I'm not here to knock the guy. I say this all the time.
He's a good ball player.
It's not his fault. I told somebody the other day, they started in on Kickharfer when I put it in there. Well, this guy should. It's not his fault. If they come up to Fish and say, Fish, you're in, you're going in.
Hey,
you're not going to go, hey, this is too big a situation for me.
What's a guy that played shortstop for us a few years back that the management loved, couldn't hit, but was pretty good defensively, played shortstop? What's that guy's name?
Jimmy's brother, Trip Cromer.
No.
Come on, really. The guy that just played just a few years back. Kind of a little bitty guy, not Eckstein. He was good, obviously.
Well, Furcal played here, but he was a good player.
No, it wasn't Furcal. I'll think of it here in a minute, but my point is, same thing. This guy's being ran out there, and I thought every day. Now, he didn't play every day.
Brendan Ryan.
No.
Couldn't hit a lick.
But he got one of the biggest hits we've
had
in years.
Yeah, he did.
Pete Cosma, the Cos.
Pete Cosma.
Kazoo, I like to call
him. Pete Cosma, that's it. The only reason I bring him up here is that you were right. I defended this guy. Now I can't even remember his name, but I defended this guy for a couple years because that guy played hard. He did everything that was asked of him, except
he
couldn't
hit.
But it's not his fault that they've thrown him in the lineup again and again and again. He's doing what they ask him to do. How can you be mad at him? He plays hard. So same thing with Jerko. I love Jerko. I like the way he goes about it. I think he's got a good attitude. I think he's got to play in the lineup somewhere for sure with the power. Got
to be in the lineup.
Probably not short.
I'm going to tell you
why don't you make him a first baseman? We already got 12 of those.
I'll take him at first right
you
now.
You got 12.
Well, that's okay. So now we've circle-lifed all the way back around to the crux of the problem, and it's what I said the day this thing was. You got too many options, and none of them are like dominant options to throw a guy out there. So if you're Mo, and again, I don't have to be a GM to look at this. We counted on a lot of guys to reach their potential this year all at the same time. You can't do that. You cannot do that. We expected Wong. We expected Piscotty. We expected Grichuk. We expected Matt Adams. We expected all these guys to reach their potential this year. Come on, that's not realistic. It's just not. There's not a team out there that has all these prospects that all reach their potential one season.
Yeah, but Jimmy,
the good teams fill these holes with proven guys, which we did not do.
Well, that's the thing. We've discussed this money thing before, and I know we got a different look on this, but the Cardinals aren't going to – we wouldn't have to have all those guys playing so great if we had a couple – if we had Betts and the Big Poppy playing over here in our lineup, because they're going to produce some runs, they're going to score some runs. We've got nobody that really does that. So all these guys, as you said, we're counting on every one of them to be good, to be marginal, really.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's hard. It's hard to say, you know – we're going to get all eight guys to have really good years for what they can produce. Well, because we don't really have that, you know, we don't have Albert Pujols. We don't have those guys that are going
Whose fault's that?
Oh, boy.
Well, you look at it, and you're looking at all-stars, you know, and those are really the cornerstones of your team. You know, so you got Yachty, you got Carpenter, and you had Holiday. Other than that, you got a bunch of, and don't take this the wrong way, right now, you got a bunch of guys that are just journeymen or just ho-hum players.
With potential.
Piscotty has a potential. All those guys have potential. But like you said, Jimmy, if you're counting on them to have all-star type years, to make a run.
Your leading RBI guy is going to have about 85 if we're lucky.
Yeah, and here's the problem with potential. Potential don't mean spit. In yesterday's game,
that's right.
When we're down 2-0 and need somebody to hit.
Hey, I'll tell you right now why Jose Martinez was in a lineup. This guy's 5-for-12. He was hitting .500 before he played yesterday.
Hey, I'm telling you, he had a couple of good yaks at Aroldis.
Hey, imagine this, too. I want everybody to think about this. It wasn't a month ago. Everybody was ready to give this Brandon Moss about $20 million a year. This guy's hitting 227.
I'm telling you.
Did
like
we learn our lesson enough from 75. Hayward? Did we learn our lesson with Hayward that we're not going to do something stupid there?
Shouldn't anybody make a 20 million? And I know the finance of Major League Baseball has changed, but shouldn't anybody making $20 million a year be able to play every day? I mean, you give
there
him that
go.
Money. You
there
give
it
him
is.
That money
every day.
He can't hit against left-handers.
That's right.
And you know you're going to play Adams. Like I said, this team's got more. Jimmy, you played softball and well, by the way. This team's got more first basemen than the softball team.
That's right.
And you know, softball teams are loaded with guys that want to catch and play first.
That's right.
Because you stand there and do nothing and get to hit.
That's right.
Well, they can't have that. Some of this, like, I was texting Steve-O last night, man. I hate to say it because, again, I know he's a guy that's trying to whatever, but this Adams has got to go. You know, he's running. In my mind, come on. What does he bring to the table?
Nothing.
What is he doing for you?
I mean, I'm.
You're right. Nothing.
Average at best, I would agree, but so is Moss. And at the end of the day, the bottom line is this. You've got to have a guy, to your point. And first base, it's throughout the league. It's the one position that a manager sits down every game, and it's probably either three or four, writes in his first baseman's name, and before the season starts, can give you a number and come within five of how many home runs he's going to hit. And can probably come within 15 of how many RBIs he's going to get and come within 20 points of what his average is going to be. And every team in the damn league can do that but us. And we're the St. Louis Cardinals. Explain
well,
it to
well,
me.
Well, just because your team's structured different than other teams don't mean you can't win. This team could still – I like your point. I never really thought of it this way, Jimmy, until you kind of put me on the spot and thinking in my head and my opinion may have been wrong. But the fact that we don't have two or three big guys like when we had Albert and them that can carry the team – produce runs, score runs, when you got the guys like Grigic and the rest of the gang doing what they're doing. Because, you know, if you look at it, there's nothing wrong with what Grigic's doing. There's nothing really wrong with what Moss is doing. But we still don't have those guys that can flat-out produce runs. And we need that.
Well, I mean, if you look at it, it's a lot like you look over the course of the year, and if you take somebody's stat line, you know, hey, you know, it wasn't too bad. You know, you look at all nine guys that are your main player, eight guys, right? Man, we should have had a pretty good team. But the problem is when you score 12 runs one game and two runs the next, that's your issue. There's no consistency.
That's the whole run thing.
Which I would take, hey, if you told me, hey, I don't know what our runs are, but
not
if,
much.
If you would take, hey, we're going to score four runs a game, we're probably going to end up with a pretty
decent
record.
You know, the American League did that for years. I mean, they waited around for a guy and hit a three-run homer.
Yeah.
I mean, Earl Weaver was famous for that. The National League's not like that. You can't really do that. You got to be able to manufacture, score some runs, move some guys along. The Cardinals have not done very well at
but
that.
Think about this, though, okay? Here it is, and this is, at the end of the day, this is going to be what the live-by-the-sword, buy-by-the-sword deal. We're going to hit all these home runs this year. And we don't have any RBIs.
No, Jerko has 27 bombs and 54 RBI.
That's crazy. That's crazy. You've seen that before, but you got to look a little bit to find that.
Yeah.
Not everybody hits 27 bombs and 54 RBIs.
Well.
Now, that says something about guys getting on, guys moving guys over, guys not throwing away at bats.
Or it's what we always used to, you know, charge Holiday with is, man, you always have a big home run when it doesn't matter.
Well, Well, wait a minute. Jerko went – I will say this. He did do some of that, but he did go through a stretch where everything he did was big.
I know. I was playing that week in fantasy.
Piscotty went through a stretch where every time he – but the bottom line is this. In the last month, Piscotty and Carpenter, who are arguably our two best hitters – you can throw Jerko in if you want because of the home runs and the fact that he's not hitting terrible, whatever you want to do. Those two guys have been – and here's the deal. I hate to say this. Piscotty's looked really bad too. I mean, this guy looks lost at the plate right now. What? But here's the deal. You can't sit him.
No, you can't sit him.
I wonder if that's playing a lot of games in the last couple of years, which he hasn't done before. And I don't want to make excuses. The only reason I say
sounds
this.
Sounds like
is,
you are.
I know, but the only reason I say this is because I'm a Piscotty fan.
I am too.
I feel like this guy's got a bright future.
I paid $75 a year for him in fantasy league.
Right,
I'm a big fan.
It may be, you know, baseball's baseball. You're not always going to be hot. That's why it's nice to have guys that can carry you. But I think Piscotty's got a bright future.
Well, I agree. Here's my concern for him. Okay. And again, this is the stuff I love about baseball. And again, it doesn't make me smarter or dumber than the next guy. I love to watch what's going on with guys' tendencies. He's getting out on the same pitch. He is routinely swinging at balls out of the strike zone.
In the dirt.
In the dirt. Well, he is routinely – like This is becoming a pattern now, not a rough stretch.
But he's a young guy.
Okay.
Wouldn't you feel a lot more confident if that was Carpenter, who's been in the league, faced these guys, been through this? You're going to get that with young guys, Jimmy. You're going to get guys
I'm okay with
that. Going through stretches.
I'm just saying, though, to your point, you brought it up. I've brought it up. We got 7 days to figure this thing out, or we're going to get the golf clubs out.
Right.
So, hey, I want to remind you guys, I know you're excited. I want to invite everybody to go to twobirdsonabat.com. Our new website is done. I'm very excited about it. I think the graphics people and the artists at lineupmedia.fm did a phenomenal. You guys like it? Good stuff.
Love it.
I mean,
awesome.
It's, you know, lineupmedia.fm is the fastest growing podcast company on the planet. The people that are involved in this thing are second to none. The artists, the graphic art, everybody that did all of our artwork was phenomenal. Producer Brian that put together our intro, which we get so many great compliments from all you guys on. You know, that's all them. And very proud to be a part of it. They're up to over 40 shows now. Make sure you check them out, lineupmedia.fm. There's a show on there for you somewhere, I guarantee, depending on what your entertainment value, where it may sit. But it's a great thing. Of course, our Twitter is growing rapidly, Birds on a Bat Show. Birds on a Bat Show is our Twitter handle. Look for us. If you're a Cardinal fan, I promise you, if you follow us, we're going to follow you back. I promise.
I want to butt in there and say something about that. So obviously I want everybody to listen to our show, and I'm thankful that they have, and they've sent the Twitters and all that, which we do read. I love it. But that's what makes this thing so good, man. There's a lot of good shows in there. You know, I was thumbing through there the other day thinking, man, that looks interesting. Click on a show, and I love it. Gets the wheels spinning, gets me thinking about things I hadn't thought about in a while. This podcast thing and these other shows we have, you know, are a really good deal. Check them out.
Well, the thing that's interesting about podcasting, like we always say around here, it's, you know, it's choice listening. I mean, you have decided to join us. Regardless, if you're a Cardinal fan, you're listening to us. If you're a hockey fan, you're listening to Kelly Chase and Darren Pang talk about the Blues and the rest of the NHL. You know, if you're a Cowboy fan, you're listening to Steve-O here and John-O doing their Cowboy podcast. I know all of our St. Louis people are looking for a team to root for. They will gladly let you in on the Cowboy bandwagon, but cowboyspodcast.com. If you're looking for that, and what we love about it is that people say, you know what, I'm sitting around, I'm doing this or doing that, I'm going to put in my headphones, I'm going to work, I'm going to do whatever, but I'm going to listen to the guys talk, and hopefully, and all we're trying to do is spark up some conversation just like you might do at work or down at the tavern having a cocktail.
Hey, our buddy Les listens to it while he's cutting grass. Puts those headphones on and cuts away. He was cutting a neighbor's yard the other day and didn't realize it.
I was going to say.
He got so caught up in our show.
Doesn't that make you a little nervous knowing that Les is using power tools and things with blades and that go really fast? Makes me nervous.
Not if he's on his A game, because he's actually a smart guy.
No, I love Les. He's one of my
problem
favorites.
Is he's not always on his A game. So,
well,
yeah. A little bit concerned.
You know, Les can be a mess. You know,
yeah.
But no, I tell you what, it's awesome to be there. Our Facebook page, people are starting to like our Facebook page. You know, we're just really, really proud of where the show has gotten to in a very short amount of time. That has been a direct result of you guys and jumping on board and helping us with everything. It's just something that I know that I can't thank everybody enough for coming on board. But make sure Facebook is a great, great thing for us because of the amount of content that we want to share here with Cardinal Baseball. And it's very simple. It's at Two Birds on a Bat in Facebook. You can find it. It's pretty simple stuff. But, you know, very happy to have everybody on board.
And the beauty of it is, give it a chance. Check it out once. If you don't like it, don't listen. But I think you will. Now, it's unlike being at home and I happen to watch The Voice or Dancing with the Stars or whatever it is with your wife. I got to watch that because she's got it on the TV.
Well, the best thing about the podcast system is just like when I wake up in the morning, you try to throw on SportsCenter. You know, I got about four stations. You got ESPN, ESPN2, Quick Pitch for Major League Baseball Network and maybe NFL Network. I'm trying to catch up on. You turn it on, and they're all at the commercial at the same time.
More
and it pisses me off. You hop in the radio, right? You hop in the car, come up here to do the show, turn on the radio, trying to catch a, you know, something, Bernie Miklas or something like that, and all of a sudden it's a 6-minute commercial. You know, you don't get to hear anything. With the podcast on demand, play it commercial free by a bunch of fat guys here talking about baseball.
Yeah, but it's not commercial free too much longer. We need some sponsors, damn it. Come on.
But we watch the game too. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So I don't need Bernie Miklas or even Joe Buck, who I think the world of telling me what I just saw. I watched it. I seen it. I got an opinion.
Well, I know you have an opinion.
Well, and hang, and wait a minute. We're not trying to be something we're not here, right? We are what?
fans.
We are everyday guys that are fans. Okay? Yeah, we all played a little bit. Yeah, we all wish we were still playing. Yeah, we all wish we could do these things. But the only to be a fan of the Cardinals, to be a fan of Two Birds on a Bat, what do you got to be? You got to love the Cardinals, you got to hate the Cubs.
Right.
It's that simple.
And that is the beauty of it, Jimmy, because nobody here, because I would check them at the door, listeners, nobody here is going to walk in or out of this place thinking they're some kind of expert.
That's right.
Because they're not. But they did watch the games. They do that's follow right. baseball. That's they right. do love Cardinals.
And that's the unique thing that I think. People talk about the uniqueness of being a Cardinal fan and Cardinal Nation, and I refuse to say the BFIB, the fray. I'm not going to say it because we've ruined that, in my opinion. But what I will say is this, to your point, all you got to do is love it. Your good friend Tom Pyle, what's his favorite saying? Gotta love it,
gotta
right?
love it.
Gotta love it. So that's all you have to do. Is if you love the Cardinals, if you even like them, and you hate the Cubs, you're on our team.
Amen to that.
Hey, so. Couple stats for you. I just looking okay. up on the
great.
On the phone here.
Take us out of here with some stats.
Well,
then
we got to look, and then we got to do a little preview for what's coming
okay.
up.
All right.
So I was just looking at runs scored versus runs allowed for 06 and 11. So 2006 runs scored, 781.
Okay.
All right. So if anybody got a calculator, you can divide that out. Runs allowed was 762. So almost dead even. In 2011, another great year by the Cardinals, 762 runs scored, 692 allowed. Last year, we had 100 wins. So we can agree, 06 and 11, right?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have our best years as far as record-wise.
Right.
Last year, 647 scored, 525 allowed. So, I mean, there's about 225, 250 runs difference on those.
And that's a big deal.
That's a big deal. So this year, we're back on pace. We're 739 scored this year so far and 680 allowed. So we're not too far off from what we were in 06 and 11. But the earned runs or the runs allowed is way up from last year. So the record might not be there, but by God, the way we score, man, I'd love to get in and have a chance at this.
Well, we've had some big scoring games. Fish has right. brought those up. We've had some games scored a lot of runs where we've kind of done them in abundance and haven't done them consistently. What I will say is I think that if when we look back on this, depending even if we were to if even if we won the World Series, we will look back on this season, and in my opinion, it will be the season of the plays we didn't make. There are a ton of plays that are not errors. We had another double play ball hit right to Jerkle that we couldn't turn two on last night in the first inning. Now, it didn't hurt us in that inning, but golly, it's a double play ball. It's not an error because you can't assume a double play.
Correct.
And we got the lead out. But that's how many pitches is that for Martinez? That is the kind of stuff that's been going on all year that's got to stop.
And he threw pretty well last night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't lights out, but kept us in there, gave us a shot.
And I will say this, Jimmy. I know you were trying to make your point, but if the Cardinals go on and win the World Series, you won't remember that they didn't make plays.
Oh, I will.
No, you won't.
Oh, yeah, I will.
Then you're bitter. You're a bitter man.
I want them to be better. That's all.
You're not a better man. You're a bitter man. Better.
Okay, so here we go. We're down to the final seven. How many wins we need? We're playing a team that's 25. We're playing four games against a team that's 25 games under 500 at home. At home.
So set us up. We're a game back of the Mets. We're even with the Giants and a game in hand.
We're not even with them. We're a half a game back, but we have a game in hand. Because we have a game in hand, right.
Yeah, but it's a game you got to win.
Yeah, you got to win. See, there's the issue. You got to win that game.
So
it'd be different if it was the other way.
So it's one and a half back of the Mets and then a half game out of the Giants. They each have six to play. We got seven.
Right. No. Hang on. Let me double check that. I want to say I think the Mets are playing seven games too. I could be wrong there, though.
I thought they were six, but boy, how about that score they put up? 17-0 on the Phillies? I thought that was a football.
Right.
I thought the
you
ticker
right.
was coming
I'm
across.
Wrong.
I thought it was a football score.
You're right. I'm wrong.
Okay. I love when you say it that way.
Well, it's the truth. I say
that. In fact, I didn't hear it. What'd you say?
Said, you're right. I'm wrong.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Anybody that knows Jimmy doesn't hear those very much out of his hand.
Because I'm not wrong very often, but when I am wrong, I admit it.
I think we got to have five.
Oh, it's at least five.
Yeah, but you're. I agree with the five number. I think that's like if you were in Vegas, the over and under thing. But so you earlier said off the air about the 6-1. I think that's unrealistic because I don't think the other teams are going to go 6-1 either.
Okay, hang on.
I
agree with you. It might be unrealistic, but we might have to do it. That's what I said.
Hey, listen, we might have to go 7-0.
That's right.
But
because we're behind.
As a fan sitting here, four might put you right in the mix because we're only playing for one spot.
Oh, any that's other, right.
Five, I think, will get you six, you're in.
Well, here's the deal. The other thing that's going to come into play is the Dodgers clinch last night.
I brought it up on the Bleacher Bum.
So they're going to be setting up Kershaw, right?
Yeah, but he won't throw. He won't get in a knockdown drag out and stay in an extra inning or two. I guarantee you that. He'll go in and throw his 85 pitches and hit the road.
So you got that playing against us?
So your hope would be that what? That they hate the they do hate the Giants. They hate one another. So your hope would be who they get? What's his name? He's been good for him. The lefty,
Rudé.
Now Allen, is that his name? God darn it! All right. So keep going through the other. Kent Maeda has been good for him. Okay, Kershaw has been good for him. So if you look at the way the thing is scheduled. They will start setting up the rotation for if their first game's on Thursday. That means you're talking about the weekend of the top guys throwing. How much they throw now, completely different argument.
So does that put Kershaw on Saturday?
It should. I'm checking right now. Okay, Rich Hill. Rich Hill's the guy I was thinking of. So you have Maeda, Hill, and Kershaw. If you tell me right now that I'm going to get those three guys against the Giants this weekend, I like my chances.
See, that's why I'm saying I think four will put them in. I really do. Mm. Because, again, we're not playing for one spot. We're playing – there's two spots.
Right.
So they only got to get one of those two spots.
Well, you got to hope that San Fran gets the best from the Dodgers, much like we got the best from the Cubs over the weekend.
Well, that's what you'd hope.
You know, where there was no sitting guys, that they were really – this was a preview of a series. They wanted to try to knock us out to keep us out.
Well, they don't want us in. If they were smart, they would do everything.
That has nothing to do with rivalry as much as it has to do with. I think they're legitimately scared to face the Cardinals.
Well, we won last night. If we'd have won, we'd have won the series. We won 9 out of 19, so they end up going up 1 on us. So they win 10, we win 9. But I think the Dodgers and Giants feel the same way. I think the Dodgers also feel like we don't want the Giants in here.
That's what we hope for.
I mean, so I think that. But again, all that I guess does mean a lot. But you got to still hit. You still got to pitch, and that's what we're looking for. Are those teams going to hit? Or are they going to pitch? Four gets them in, I think. Five for sure, and six is a no brainer.
Well, no
six and one are in.
Well, no disrespect, but the Mets are going to go to Miami, which is going to be a tough road to hoe for the Miami Marlins to play, and rightfully so.
Clear their head, right?
No disrespect there whatsoever, but that's going to be an interesting thing.
Do you expect a packed house down there? I mean, you got to think.
You wonder. I mean, I don't know. I'm not 100% sure what everybody's mindset's going to be down there. Like, they want to go to the park and pay their respects to him. Do they want to do it private? I don't know.
I would expect that you're going to see Miami fill up down there.
Okay, so I've got your pitching mat. They have them out already. So we are going to get our wish. We're going to get Kershaw on Friday against Bumgarner. Okay? But, we see who won that matchup last time, right? Well, not neither. The matchup. Giants won, but
right.
But it wasn't for that reason. And then we're gonna have Hill against Suarez, and then on Sunday, again, barring something changing, and we're anticipating that it will not be, we're gonna get McCarthy versus Cueto.
Okay.
So they're gonna miss Maeda. So
now take that back. What does that set them up for a Tuesday game? Right.
They wouldn't play Tuesday.
No. In the wild card. Wild card on wild card. What game is that? What day is that?
Well, it's supposed to be Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Isn't it? I think so.
So does that put Baumgartner?
Yes.
Pitching the Wednesday game.
Sure.
Yep.
That makes sense for them, of course.
Absolutely. So they're set up.
Right.
They're set up for the wild card and to get into the NL or the NLDS, right?
Yeah.
Is Cueto 100% healthy?
I mean, he's missing a start.
He did miss a start, right?
He's missing a start.
Right.
The Giants get the Rockies. But in San Francisco. I would have loved if that would have been in Colorado, but it is what it is. I'm tired of worrying about everybody else. We got to worry about them a little bit because we're the ones technically behind. Again, we're going to play four games against a team that is 25 games below 500, and we're going to play another team that's out of the playoff picture and is below 500, and they have injuries mounting.
You got at this point, you got to take care of business, no doubt. That's right.
You got to take care of business, and you need some help.
Well, hopefully, and I don't anticipate this. There's no doubt in my mind. This thing's going to come down to the wire. We talked about it a couple weeks ago. Who do you want to pitch in a wild card game? We may not have a choice. But you know what? As we brought it up earlier, one of my favorite sayings, one of our favorite guys, you got to love it.
Moto,
got to love it. Shout out to Motes.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Hey, stay with us. We will be back on Thursday this week. We're going to be out a day early. Got a little charity golf event to take care of Friday, so we're going to come a day early, which will be great. It'll get us all sized up for the weekend series that'll take us hopefully into a playoff format where we'll get to continue doing this great show and possibly, you never know, make another historic run in Cardinal baseball history. For Fish, for Steve-O, I am Jim. We are Two Birds on a Bat. See you Friday.
Go Birds.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.